This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce canned flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, we're gonna do Take a Mania. We're gonna do Take a Mania, but Seth is looking at his phone right now, which
segment when I was when you were dashing all of my dreams of living to 100 against the rocks, like it just like I will inevitably when I decide it's time to end. I said, hey, look at some of these guys that made it into their 90s. Yeah. Three or four of them were defensive ends, yeah. And you pointed out that back in the day, those guys that died in their 90s last year played in the 1950s,
yeah,
when defensive linemen were a lot skinnier.
Yes.
Andy Clue texted me. He said, tell Sean to shut up. I was feeling good about the life expectancy of defensive ends until he reminded us the average DN back then was 5'10", 185.
This is where I do that thing like, Andy, I'm not talking about you. You keep yourself in phenomenal
certainly
condition.
Not you, Andy.
No. I love Andy Kalu.
Andy's beard, he's got an impressive beard now. And to me, it's the what are your intentions with my daughter beard.
Yep.
It looks like he looks like the guy that, like, if you go to pick up his daughter for the date, you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
he looks very intimidating.
Bald head with the beard.
Yeah.
We call that the Kimbo Slice look. The bald-headed black dude with the beard.
Yeah. I'm not going to mess around. I will have her home at 7:10 p.m.,
That's
sir.
That's exactly right. On the dot. Oh, man. All right, let's do Take a Mania. This is where we examine the worst takes of the week. We go find some contenders to take down our champ, our defending champ. Our one week defending champ is Chad Ochocinco and Shannon Sharp. They were on I'm guessing this was the Nightcap podcast they did this on, but they were talking about Desmond Watson, the rookie 460-pound undrafted defensive lineman from Florida who the Tampa Bay Buccaneers signed and made the priority for him to get into some semblance of shape first.
Yeah.
I don't think he will.
Or a different shape than he was.
Right.
Yeah, some more like a normal human body
more
shape.
More like a rectangle, less like a pear. Yeah that kind of thing. So here was their take on the evil, nefarious Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Because the Bucs cut him,
They cut him, So here's the defending champ.
The Buccaneers waived Desmond Watson, the former Gator rookie, listed at 449 pounds with the Bucs. Are the Bucs giving up with Big Dez too soon, Ocho?
I would like for him to allow him to play and see how he plays at the size he's at now. He played at that size at Florida, so I understand what you guys are trying to do for safety reasons, but it's how he played at Florida. So why draft him if you're not going to allow him to play the game of football? Why not let him finish out his childhood dream? Why even put him through the ringer like that?
He's 6'5".
Yeah. Big boy.
He only going to get so small through diet and exercise. He's 6'5"? Yeah. You're not going to get him to 350. Because if you get him to 350, he can't play football. Because you taking all his strength away.
Hold on. If he's... How much Vita Vea weigh, huh?
Vita Vea probably 350.
So, he's 365. Desmond Watson, what, 365?
450.
Oh.
It's, okay, so Ocho didn't really know the whole story, obviously.
No.
I give him credit for hitting the brakes.
Oh, please.
Hitting the brakes to reassess the situation.
Dude, the last five seconds of that are the best.
But Shannon acting like a man who's 6'5" can only get down so skinny. How could you expect a 450 pounder to, when he's 6'5"?
A worthy champ, no doubt.
Where in the NFL can we find examples of guys who are 6'5" but less than 350 pounds?
Oh,
is it even medically possible? I don't know.
Oh, all right, so
this one's so good because it's so entertaining.
It's funny, I know.
Especially because Chad Johnson does a
bleep at the end.
The bar stool.
Yeah. 360.
Like he pushed back from the bar. We're like, whoa.
How heavy is he?
450.
How heavy is he? 365? 450. Ooh, bleep. All right. So spoiler alert, none of these are going to be as funny as that one is.
Yeah.
But they can be equally piss poor or maybe even worse. We'll see. This was Sean McDermott, Buffalo Bills head coach, talking about just how hopping mad he is that Buffalo as a city gets a label every year. And a lot of it has to do with the failure in the postseason. He is just really angry, but at the very end, I think, makes a proclamation that is very, very poor.
Just overall, changing the narrative on Buffalo, that is honestly probably the number one thing for me. You know, I hear it on TV. I hear it on, you know, not even watching a football game or not even a football broadcast or whatever. And they refer to that, this area, and I'm not even going to say it. Like, they don't know this community. They don't know us. And just because it didn't work out 4 years in a row, nobody's ever going to do that again. People don't ignite. This is, you talk about, now you're going to get me going. Like, it does. It bothers me. It honestly pisses me off because people don't know this town. They don't know how hard that is to get to four straight Super Bowls. It'll never happen again. That's where there's other things that drive. Yeah, like, I'm not. We're good.
Okay. There's a lot in there. Like, the whole white knighting for the entire city thing is a little strange. I'll give him that.
I mean, the Chiefs did just go to four Super Bowls in 5 years.
The Chiefs have been to the last three Super Bowls. That's my issue with this take. When you say something's never going to happen again, you talk about Cal Ripken's consecutive game streak. You know, you talk about maybe Wilt Chamberlain's.
Things where nobody's even come close, and there's nothing in modern baseball that suggests anybody will do what Cal Ripken
they
did.
They load manage now. They're like, it's not even a thing to play all those games.
And then in football, the Kansas City Chiefs, though not a favorite to go to the Super Bowl this year, are very, like, it's attainable this year.
This year, they've been to the last three. Like, if anything, he gave Kansas City, their arch nemesis, by the way, knocked them out of the last two postseasons. If anything, Seth, he gave them bulletin board material.
Exactly, yeah. It's a bad take. You know what I've learned in how I judge these bad takes, though, sometimes? It almost also has to be a good take in the way that it's delivered. Like, it's better. I tend to award a winner for worst take if it's actually got some more elements of a good take, in that it's either forcefully delivered or confidently delivered or somewhat succinct or whatever it is.
Yep. You're the judge on this.
He was kind of meandering. You know, when somebody is sticking up for somebody, either their own team or a family member especially, they're unlikely to win worst take.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't as entertaining to me.
Nothing's going to be in this segment, I'm going to tell you right now.
Yeah.
So we know on that one?
No, okay. Yeah.
Ocho and Shannon kick out. All right. Now, admittedly, this one is just one. I feel like Justin Herbert's been a bigger topic on the show today than most days, based on Stephen Ruiz's. This one just disappointed me in my heart. And it's an opinion, so maybe it won't qualify, but man. Here's Joe Montana being asked on the Pat McAfee show, who are the three quarterbacks that you would start a team with?
If you were a general manager head coach today, pick the top three quarterbacks you'd want to start your franchise with. And why?
Ooh. I like this.
And not Brock Purdy. You can't take Brock.
Boom.
Okay, Brock is your number one pick. We know that.
Yep.
So you love Brock Purdy. You love Brock Purdy.
Yeah. I'm taking the guy in Buffalo.
Okay, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh. You know, the guy that surprised me that I thought would, obviously, Joe Burrow's another guy I like a lot.
Okay.
Joe Burrow. And believe it or not, I like the guy in the with the Chargers. Just just Herbert. I think they just kind of gone by the wayside there. But
right.
I just like the way they all those three guys are.
Boy, it's amazing that Joe Montana's TV career never got off the ground.
This is dirty pool by the McAfee Show too. Like they're putting Joe Montana on the spot for something that I tell young athletes never to do: never answer a power ranking question on the fly unless you've prepared, because you're going to leave people out. Joe Montana doesn't even know the names of the guys that he's talking about. So like he's clearly, it's
the
a
guy
bad
in
take.
Buffalo.
It's like asking my grandma for her to give me a hot sports take.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Joe Montana more so than
and it's a bad
than
take.
Anything else about that. Yeah. All so right. No, he doesn't. He doesn't win the. All right.
All right. There you go.
That's a classic example of if he had delivered it confidently and if he knew the actual names of the.
Yeah, that helps, right?
It has to be somewhat of a credible take before it can be the bad take.
I kind
of
like the guy in Los Angeles. Like, okay, they got two teams there.
You don't say.
Yeah, really? When did that happen? all right, this next one.
Tagliabue would have called me about that.
Yeah. That's exactly right. So, okay, this one I feel like is directed at me, which is why I'm getting a little.
This one might have a shot, by the way.
Might have a shot. This is Nick Wright. On First Things First yesterday, they were talking about the Red Zone channel having ads now. It's on ESPN. Nick Wright pointed out they did start doing, I guess, some split screen ads last year where you can still watch the game, but you got a Burger King commercial playing on the left and the right.
This year it's going to be full breaks.
That's what it sounds like.
Not that many.
Yeah. So at any rate, this is less about the ads and more about Nick Wright's view on Red Zone, and if you're a frequent Red Zone viewer.
You cannot be a self-respecting, die-hard NFL fan if the only way you consume football is through Red Zone. Watch a whole game like an adult. Second screen, supplementary, on your computer, fine. But don't tell me you love the NBA. Like, what game did you watch last night? No, I just Bleacher Report speed, saw some highlights. You don't learn anything. You don't know anything. And sports media, you can't cover the league if you're just watching Red Zone. We got to learn, coach, how a team matriculated the ball down the field, not just the candy of the touchdowns and the turnovers and the punt returns. So if you are a true football fan, throw on a full game, have Red Zone secondary, whether it's on your phone, computer screen. If you have multi-TV setup, that's fine. And if you're just a casual fan, just following fantasy, no problem. But don't try to get in football arguments or football discussions if you haven't seen a team run a 2nd and 13 from their own 20-yard line in 30 years.
All right, floor is yours, all Seth. Right. What do you think of that one?
I tell you what, Nick. You know what, honestly? I feel like you're using a lot of rhetorical arguments there that are beneath you. Like you, a philosophy major in college, if I'm not mistaken.
Nick,
yes.
Nick was a philo,
I would say he's guilty of both the false dichotomy there, kind of separating the league into people who watch football seriously, and then you've got all these people who watch nothing but Red Zone.
Yeah.
Which allows you to attack kind of a straw man, which is that, all you people that only watch Red Zone and nothing else, I don't know, I don't think that group even exists. I think most people that watch Red Zone a bunch probably watch the team that they prefer most. They'll watch that entire game. Maybe they'll watch the entire Monday night game. But they also like watching Red Zone. Personally, I don't like Red Zone, so I believe I have a certain degree of credibility in defending the Red Zonians.
Yes
that this whole nonsense of people who are acting like they're the intellectuals and the adults in the room because I choose to sit on a couch for 3 hours watching an entire football game. You're like, okay, dude, all right. You're acting like you're a literary scholar or something. Is that the same as reading War and Peace? I watched a whole football game because I'm serious about what I do in my leisure time. No, Nick. This is beneath you.
Okay.
This is beneath you, Nick.
It's beneath him. Is this take, though, beneath Ocho and Shannon Sharp talking about Desmond Watson?
Oh, intellectually, I believe, yes, it is. And yet, I love that. I love that bad take by Shannon Sharpe and Chad Johnson so much.
There's a big
There's
a big part of me that wants to listen to it for at least two. This is the opposite. This is the opposite of the DeAndre Hopkins take that we had for like 5 weeks because it was truly terrible.
Yes.
This is Ocho Cinco and Shannon Sharpe are entertaining and terrible.
This. No, and I think, you know what I'll accuse Nick of? I think he's doing this a little bit just as a playful jab at people, too.
I think so, too. Got a lot
of I don't think he's as earnest about it. So, no, he cannot dethrone Chad Johnson and Shannon Sharpe.
Authenticity matters. Kick out. All right,
As soon as he said you're a child or whatever he said, I'm like, okay, Nick's just irritating
people. He knows how the algorithm works, baby. Yeah. Yep. All right, Dan Orlovsky had a rough one yesterday on First Take. We played the take earlier with Ryan Clark sticking up for Justin Herbert. That was directed at Dan Orlovsky, who was sitting next to him, when he was saying, you watch all this film on Mahomes probably so much that you forgot about how bad Justin Herbert was. He got into an argument with Ryan Clark and Stephen A. Smith about the generational talent of Arch Manning.
Yeah.
You know, Dan is a huge Arch Manning stan.
Yeah.
And those other guys are like, there's nothing special about the guy. And Dan is taken aback by that. Those are two. This one, to me, was just strange. Dan Orlovsky was talking about the Baltimore Ravens and how they're the team under the most pressure this year in the NFL, which I think is a fair take. But it was the if they don't win the Super Bowl part of this that got me.
There is no organization and no team under more pressure than the Baltimore Ravens. At some point, I love them.
No team under more pressure?
At some point, we have to get past the reasons and excuses for why it doesn't happen. This is a team that has a Super Bowl winning head coach. It has the best roster in football. Their starting secondary is all first round picks, and they got a quarterback that has multiple MVPs. At some point, you got to go win the whole thing. Or there's going to be a restart. It can't just be, well, this is a great organization, a great team, a great collection of talent, and they continue to fall short. And they know it in their own words. They say they continue to fall short in the playoffs. And when it matters the most, they, for some reason, don't play up to their standards. And I understand it's week one. I agree with Will. Like, this game is massive for Baltimore. It is. I'm not going to the extreme of, like, if you lose, your season's over. But there's no team under more pressure than this team to finally go get it done. Because how many times do organizations have this type of setup and just don't win the trophy? It doesn't happen often in the league.
The bad part about that take to me, Seth, and they're for those who don't know, the Ravens are playing the Bills on Sunday night this week.
Yeah.
So that's a big game, maybe the biggest game of the weekend. The use of the word restart to me is the part where I'm like, okay, as he's given this take, I'm like, okay, if this take arrives at a place where he's saying the Ravens need to blow it up and start over because they don't win a Super Bowl this year, that's okay, what are you going to trade Lamar Jackson, fire John Harbaugh, man? I don't know.
How did he say restart?
It was in the middle.
I was looking for this guy. I felt like it was legitimately, like, generally a pretty good take.
Yeah, it's the restart, and I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with you. It's the notion. It feels like it's extreme. Ben, can you?
Oh, they're going to have to, like, they're going to have to tear it down to the studs or something.
See if you read into it the same way I did. Ben, we'll play it up through that part.
There is no organization and no team under more pressure than the Baltimore Ravens. At some point, I love them.
No team under more pressure?
At some point, we have to get past the reasons and excuses for why it doesn't happen. This is a team that has a Super Bowl winning head coach. It has the best roster in football. Their starting secondary is all first round picks, and they got a quarterback that has multiple MVPs. At some point, you got to go win the whole thing. Or there's going to be a restart. It can't just be, well, this is a great organization.
You know what I interpreted that as, and I guess I figured, like, a new head coach. John Harbaugh, at some point you got to say, like, all right, well, we're not getting it done with you. We got to, which is a hard decision to make. Various teams in the past have gotten rid of that coach that gets a team to the playoffs every year, and then it's not so pretty.
I think of a restart as meaning something significant on the roster as well. Like, that's more than just the coach to me.
I would say, for me, I would just think that it's maybe he meant. I was thinking he probably meant. Fire Harbaugh.
Yeah. Well, this definitely doesn't win.
No, this doesn't dethrone.
Yeah, it doesn't even come close. Yeah. Ocho and Shannon Sharpe just threw this take into the first row, kicking out of that one right there. All right. So, Seth, good news. Shannon Sharpe and Chad Ochocinco remain champion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, the Nick Wright one, I'm going to have to, I'm not going to do an emergency one and reverse my decision or anything, but the Nick Wright one's really starting to eat at me.
I didn't think that one would eat as much as it did.
It's so dumb. No, people trying to act like intellectually snobby about how they choose to consume football annoys the hell out of me. It feels like it just, Nick's not any different than the hyper stat nerds who act like unless you're consuming it with heavy analytics, then you don't really know ball. It's yeah. like, man, some people like watching Red Zone. Leave them be.
Well, and if you are a big enough fan to sit for 6 hours and watch Red Zone all day, you're a big enough fan to consume other content throughout the week about the yeah. NFL that's going to make you knowledgeable about it.
Yeah, Nick acting like he was taking on these legions of people who watch Red Zone and nothing else.
Yeah.
I don't think that many people, maybe I'm wrong. I just think that most people who watch a bunch of Red Zone, probably, especially, like you said, the people that watch the whole day of Red Zone are probably watching Monday Night Football or their chosen team when they're playing
probably
and everything else.
Among the most informed fans out there about yeah. football because they're watching the whole thing unfold throughout the
yeah,
league.
Yeah, like, and they're not breaking it down like a fake film analyst
that's
or
right.
something, whatever.
Yep,
yeah,
that's right.
You do you, everybody.
All right.
I'm not going to yuck your yum.
People like the Nick Cassidy. I like that.
I hate that phrase, but it's just so accurate.
I've never heard it, and I might use it later today.
Yeah.
People like the Nick Caserio breakdowns of the opponent that he does with John Harris and Mark Vandermeer. They've got a bit of a kind of a viral thing going on the internet over the last year or so. So, the Texans' opponent. Let's begin Rams prep through the eyes of the Texans GM. Offense and defense. We'll do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, it is an Academy Sports and Outdoors Football Friday, and this is where I want to once again point out, if you're watching on YouTube or Twitch, I'm going to hold it up to the camera, and you can see we've got these awesome beer glasses that say Football Friday, Sports Radio 610, a couple helmets on there, and you've got Academy Sports and Outdoors, their logo, because they're sponsoring it. On one side, and on the other side, you've got Payne and Pendergast, man. You have Payne and Pendergast right there, silhouettes of me and Seth. And you're probably like, how can I get hold of one of those amazing beer glasses? If you come out to Talyard Brewing Company in Sugar Land this afternoon with Clint and Sho, the drive will be out there, and they're going to be giving these glasses away. So you just got to, all you got to do is show up. But it's limited supply, so it's first come, first serve. There's four different designs. We're going to do a different one each week. So today is Payne and Pendergast. So Seth and I would ask kindly that enough of you get out there to where there's a line out the door and around the parking lot.
Right.
Yeah.
For Pendergast and Payne.
See, it can go either way. Yeah. It says Payne and Pendergast on the glass.
And it's etched in there. It's not just some cheesy, you know, paint job or something.
Quality.
It's going to fade over time.
Etched.
These are dishwasher safe.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And good in the freezer and good to pour a nice cold beer into. So so go see the fellas out there. One per person. But they're going to be giving them away. Get out there early. Hang out with the guys. Should be a fun Friday as we get ready for week one of the NFL season. So let's start doing that right here. We've been doing it throughout the show. Nick Caserio, whose voice you just heard on that little hotkey right there from Penn, was on Texans All Access earlier this week. Let's start with Nick Caserio talking about the Rams' defense.
Really good coaching staff, really good coordinators, and offensively and defensively, they have a lot of good football players. Great program top to bottom, significant challenge in front of us. It starts at the top, you know, with Coach McVay and Les. They put together an unbelievable team. They have a lot of continuity and a lot of stability that's been put in place on the defensive side of the ball. Chris Shula is defensive coordinator. Really good coach. You mentioned the defensive side of the football. Probably, we'll see how it goes. We're going to see a number of good fronts throughout the course of the year, but really 1-4 and 1-5, if you include Puna Ford, who they signed in the offseason, who's kind of a little, I'd say, an underrated, not really talked about very much, but he's going to help their team. But between Fisk, Kobe, you know, Young, and Verse, and Ford, everything starts with the front. I mean, they've done an unbelievable job. They cause a lot of problems, so, I mean, it's going to be a big part of the game. Have a number of players at the linebacker and secondary level, very instinctive, some younger players, some veteran players, and they drafted Kitchens last year. So, good safety group. And then I would say Lake kind of fills some of the roles that Petrie does for us, kind of nickel to safety, another undrafted or late round player, and have some experience at corner with Witherspoon and Williams. So this is a pretty deep football team on the defensive side of the ball.
It starts and ends with the defensive line, right?
It's interesting when you talk about the Rams, because they have a lot of really good young players, but they weren't good against the run last year, and that was part of the focus of their offseason. That's why they brought Puna Ford in there. Puna Ford is a really strong, physical defensive lineman. He was one of the few Chargers defenders last year in the playoffs who played well against the Texans, kept playing well throughout the entire game, made a lot of plays in the backfield. He comes over to the Rams in free agency, and it is. You look across the board, they run a 3-4, so the five guys that are on the defensive line, every single one of them is a really good football player.
Yeah.
And a lot of where you can test and hopefully hurt the Rams is at the second level and in the secondary. But you got to give your quarterback time to get there first, or you got to get the running back through that front line first. And that's a challenge with as I don't know if you guys have noticed, as we've talked about it in the offseason, but offensive line has been a point of emphasis for a while now.
D'Amico noticed because he's sick of it. He's sick of us.
This is the whole, I honestly, if you're going to write a Hollywood script about this, Sean, you would, let's say, and it was a movie about Nick Caserio.
Mm-hmm.
It would be Nick Caserio in draft day, except this is Nick Caserio opening day of the season.
Yeah.
All right. What's the challenge the hero faces? People question whether he can ever get to, put together a good offensive line for the Texans. Can he draft good offensive linemen? Week one of the season, you're going against five really good defensive linemen / edge rushers, and one of the guys you chose in the draft is going to be starting against them in Ariante Ursi
at left tackle.
You've got a hodgepodge of it's like the Dirty Dozen out there at the other four spots. Combination of miscreants and ne'er-do-wells out there that you're putting on the starting offensive line. How can they fare versus these top-notch defensive linemen? If I were a Hollywood script writer, the Texans would take one on the chin this first game.
That's right.
This would be the big challenge.
That's the challenge.
This would be the test.
Because you got to come back from some adversity along
yes,
the way.
Yes, yes.
Yep.
I don't listen. Life doesn't have to be like a Hollywood movie. I'd like it to be 17 straight weeks of unblemished success by the offensive line as they very boringly just roll through anybody and everybody, okay? Let's not make this a good Hollywood movie.
I don't care about PFF scores. I don't care about win rate. I want our offensive line to have an 11% rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah,
that's what I want.
I don't need this to be, oh, the offensive line gets decimated. Meanwhile, Nick has a flashback to his childhood when his evil stepmother told him, "You'll never draft good offensive linemen, you idiot."
A wart on her nose.
Yeah.
She's hideous.
Yeah, yeah.
She's...
And that's what drives him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That totally
proving
makes
his evil stepmother wrong. I hope he doesn't have a stepmother in real life.
I don't think he does. I don't think he does. All right. So let's hear from Caserio again. That's the challenge for the Texans offensively, the Rams defense. How about this offense that the Texans defense is going to be going against?
Offensively, you mentioned it, Johnny. Everything starts with Matthew. Yeah. I mean, one of the best quarterbacks in the history of the league, borderline Hall of Famer. He's going to be there. He's as tough as any player in the league. And if he can't go, I mean, they basically have another starting quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo. Adams is obviously a big signing for them this offseason. I'd say the Adams acquisition, along with the drafting of Ferguson at tight end, is going to make a big imprint on the offense. And they drafted Hunter in the fourth round. Similar, we drafted Woody Marks. And I think he's probably going to make a little bit of impact for him at some point, understanding Kyren's as good of an all-around back in the league. But deep at tight end, good receiver group, and you throw Puka in there, who, I mean, Puka's career kind of speaks for himself to this point. And then they have some players in the kicking game that can be a factor. So this is a very good football team. They won the NFC West. They made it to the divisional round, had Philly on a rope. So we understand the challenge in front of us on a road opening day, so which brings some challenges in and of itself, but hopefully our team will be ready to go.
Yeah, the offense... If you look at the receivers are the ticket items there. And obviously Matt Stafford, if he's healthy, if he's feeling good, if he's playing at his best, then he's 37 years old as well. And last year wasn't his best season. 37 is still a number that not a lot of quarterbacks make it past. There's like kind of two. Some quarterbacks fizzle out at 34, and then it seems the ones who make it past 34 make it to 37.
Yeah.
And then it's really rare the guys that just go beyond that and remain really, really good.
He's taken a pounding throughout his career. Yeah. We forget. He was with Detroit for over a decade. He's taken a beating. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it really – it just comes down to – on their side of the ball, can they protect Matt Stafford? And I think they're going to get rid of the ball really quickly. Mm-hmm. Given his back considerations, given the fact that their starting left tackle had blood clots all preseason long and just got back to practice this week, I think they're going to be measured in how many shots they take downfield. Because as good as Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams are and Tutu Atwell, they're going up against a really good secondary. So you can't just go into the game if you're the Rams thinking you're going to sit there and carve them up with seven-step drops all day long while the Texans have these guys rushing off the edge.
I think it's a big key, man, to Nick mentioned Kyren Williams, and he's one of the better all-around backs in football. Man, just keep Stafford in down-and-distance situations where he can't hit you with the quick game. You know, like that run game, all the things that happened to the Texans last year, getting in second and 10 and second and 12, be stout in that run game defensive line and put Stafford in situations where he can't rely on just getting the ball out fast.
Yeah, I 100% agree with what Clint said earlier this week, is that this, in a lot of respects, I mean, depending on what your definition of boring is, I don't think it's going to be a high-flying aerial attack by either team.
Yep.
I think it's going to be a whole lot of running the ball and setting up play action.
Yes.
And that's what makes sense for both sides. You've got protection concerns for both quarterbacks. Matt Stafford, because of his health and age, and because they're going against a good pass rush, C.J. Stroud, because you just don't flat out know what you have in this offensive line right now. So the best way to help out that offensive line is to run, set up the play action, and take your shots there. And then also a heavy dose of the quick passing game for the Texans. Make it lower the level of difficulty for the Texans offensive line. Don't put it on them. Put it on just grinding the clock. And I think this game, if I had to put an over under on how long the game takes to play out, I think it's going to be less than 3 hours.
Okay.
Well, I think this will be a 2-hour and 57-minute long game.
As the host of the post game show, I like your prognostication a lot. That gets me home by about 9 o'clock. That would be
especially
good.
For a game that starts a little bit later.
Yeah. It gets me home at a reasonable hour. That's good. Text
what is
message.
The average length of that? About 3 hours these days.
It's like about three, a little over three, maybe 3:05, 3:10, something like that.
Text 3 hours, 12 minutes, according to this one website.
I'm so just thinking
2 hours, 57 minutes is a pretty quick game.
That's a quick one. Yeah, that's a quick one. We would take that. Seth is 100% correct. These elitist, I view sports in a superior way to all the plebs, are jackasses.
Jackasses.
You just called Nick Wright a jackass.
We had an idea for a segment we wanted to start doing is stat-free baseball. Because I think that, I mean, it's hard to talk about baseball without statistics. Really, really hard. But I think it's a point where it's swung so far over to now it's hard to read an article about baseball where it's not just a whole bunch of, advanced stats with some connecting phrases in between.
Yeah, advanced stats with a lot of the, not GPS, but a lot of the radar gun stuff. You know,
yeah, and it's cool. It's cool, but it just becomes a big blur after a while. I think McTaggart still does a really good job of using the advanced stats very selectively and telling a story around it.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to start sometime before the end of the baseball season. Let's do a stat-free baseball segment.
I like it. I like it. All right, final segment coming up. We'll find out what the guys on In the Loop have going on. Let's stack this NFL card. This is NFL week one, man. It's not just the Texans. We've got a pretty nice card of games going here, too, and I think all playing into some major storylines in the NFL. We will stack the NFL card for you. We'll talk to the guys on In the Loop. We'll find out what the question of the day is. We'll do that coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and sugar-free. First-round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
All right, another quick reminder, the fellas, the Drive, Sterner and Hughley, they're going to be out at Talyard Brewing Company in Sugar Land today, and you can pick up your Payne and Pendergast beer glass, beautiful beer glass with the etched pictures of me and Seth on the side of it, and you've got the Football Friday logo on the other side. First come, first serve, one per person, and supplies are limited, but they're awesome. And then hang out there and get ready for the first week of regular season NFL. Second full week of college as well. There's some good matchups, but let's stack this NFL thing, Seth. Minus the Texans, this is what the card in the NFL looks like. I like to stack the card, and these are the games that I'm keeping an eye on for various storyline reasons. I don't know if they're going to be the best games, but they're the ones with the juiciest storylines. We have a game tonight on YouTube. No idea what to expect with streaming the game on YouTube here. Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner are going to be on the call, so it seems like NFL Network will be producing this thing. That's one of their broadcast teams. But yeah. Chiefs and Chargers, two playoff teams, Chiefs a Super Bowl team, in Sao Paulo, Brazil. This is the second year they played in Sao Paulo, Brazil. And the thing I remember about last year's game with the Eagles and the Packers is that turf was not that great.
Was awful, and I don't think it's going to be any better. You know, the problem is that turf is built for soccer players, and I don't know what the average weight of a soccer player is, but it's much, 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 much less than the average football player, yes, and especially linemen.
Yep.
That's why these European games tend to the turf tends to suck. It's just built different. J.J. Watt tweeted about this last year because he has experience, obviously, mm-hmm, with whatever they call him over there, the pitch.
Yeah.
This is, and for those of you who are curious, it's not YouTube TV. It's just YouTube. So if you have the internet, you'll be able to watch this game on YouTube, which is cool. But, I mean, the Harbaugh rolling it back with Greg Roman as his offensive coordinator last year is interesting because he'd had a previous relationship with him, but Greg Roman was known mostly for, you know, most recently for his work in Baltimore, where the question was always just, all right, can you get an offense to a certain level, but not really make them ready for the postseason?
Yep.
All right, is there kind of a ceiling on how much Greg Roman could do? And last year, they had a promising start, but it's not like it was a high-powered offense. They did some good things, but are you going to take that next step forward? And now you're doing it in this opening game versus that's a scary defense that the Chiefs have.
It is,
and there's no reason to believe that they're not going to be scary again this year. It's a really, really good defense.
Yeah, and you're swapping in new running backs. You got a rookie back there with Amarian Hampton and Najee Harris. I guess his eye is healed from the fireworks thing.
They got Mekhi Becton, and they brought in Keenan Allen too. So they've got extra weapons, but it's a big test in Week 1.
Big test. All right, so that's tonight. So we get Friday night NFL football. We love that. All right. I'm kind of stacking this like a wrestling card. So my mid-card games, these are all Sunday afternoon games. Bengals and Browns on Fox. They're on Fox. Two AFC teams on Fox. We know that they've gotten a little looser with that. Seth, I love a good train wreck. Love me a good train wreck. I will have eyes on this game while you and I are doing the pregame show for the Texans. I will have eyes on this game because this Browns bleep show unveiled. This whole quarterback thing where Joe Flacco, it almost feels like in Cleveland, they think the Joe Flacco they're getting is the one that got them to the postseason 2 years ago. Not the one that showed up in the postseason looking like the Flacco from 2 years before that, and not the one that showed up in Indianapolis last year that was so bad that they put Anthony Richardson back in 2 games into this thing. When they were still trying to win football games, they had to bench Joe Flacco. I am always here for a Cleveland Browns bleep show.
The Bengals have a 1-11 record in weeks 1 and 2 since Zach Taylor became the coach.
That's an amazing stat.
I feel like if you're into the conspiracy theories and whatnot, and maybe you just want the Browns to look like they have some sign of life early in the season, then, hey, at least put him up against a divisional opponent that has been horrendous, absolutely horrendous in the first 2 weeks.
That's an amazing stat. Because they've been, for most of that time, they've been decent, you know, to very good.
And there's an element of surprise with the Bengals defense, at least, in that they have a new defensive coordinator, Al Golden. So so maybe the Bengals defense, just for whatever ambush, surprise, or element they have there. Who are you actually pulling for in this game?
Oh, the Bengals.
You want to see the Browns spiral mercilessly out of control?
Yeah. Okay. I can't root for the Browns. No. Although rooting for the Browns would make more sense because the Texans are going to probably find themselves in some sort of tiebreaker battle with the Bengals down the road. But it's week one. I don't want to think that far ahead. Raiders at Patriots on CBS. That's an early game, so the Raiders are traveling cross-country to play a 1 o'clock Eastern kick. I like the Brady angle on this one. Tom Brady has a very horrible-looking statue of himself in front of Gillette Stadium now. And yet is a part owner of the team that's coming in there to play the team that administered that horrible, horrible statue, the New England Patriots. So I like the Brady angle on this one. I'm sure he'll get
Do you think they're doing some kind of a tribute to Tom Brady before this game?
I doubt it because he's probably busy that day because he works for Fox.
Well, he's not a player and it's not the first time he's been back or anything like that.
They did it in the preseason. They did the statue thing. And
right. Yeah, they did that. I know, but just like they do with baseball. You know, sometimes you play a little tribute to a guy when he actually comes back as an opposing player.
Are they going to play a highlight reel of Brady because he owns 5% of the Raiders?
Because he's an owner of the Raiders. Yeah, I would say no.
That would be kissing.
Especially when the Raiders have kind of owned. This would be their third straight win over New England.
Really?
After losing their previous. They lost their previous 6 meetings from. Listen to this time span. Yeah. From 2005 to 2020.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, which shouldn't be too much of a shock given how good the Patriots were for most of that time.
That's still crazy.
15 years without beating a team.
That's crazy.
After the team that knocked you out of the playoffs on a very sketchy call and circumstance.
Yeah.
In 2002 or 3. Yeah, that's...
2001. Super Bowl. Yeah, the first Super Bowl the Patriots won. Steelers at Jets, also on CBS. J.J. Watt on the call for a T.J. Watt game.
Ooh!
The quarterbacks, Rodgers going against his old team, Fields going against his old team. These are both
first
guys.
First time in NFL history that two opposing quarterbacks from who had started the first season opener. Oh, it's the first season opener in NFL history between starting quarterbacks who played for the opposing team the previous year.
Okay, that feels a
so
little
it's happened
specific.
Before, but not in the season opener.
Not in the beginning. Yeah. Okay, so Steelers and Jets. That's the mid card for me. Semi main event, Lions at Packers on CBS. Micah Parsons' debut as a Green Bay Packer. This was already in the argument for game of the day, I would say, Lions at Packers. I mean, Lions 15-2 last year. Packers were a playoff team. But I'm anxious to see how they use Micah Parsons. I think it was J.J. Watt who said this on McAfee earlier this week. Like, basically he's a defensive lineman. We're not that smart. J.J. said this. We're not that smart. Just turn us loose and have him go do his thing. Go stop the run and go get the quarterback.
Yeah, the Halfley there, the defensive coordinator for the Packers, he does some funky stuff, as we saw last year. They do a good job of disguising things. I wouldn't be surprised if he has a couple little wrinkles. I mean, Micah was an off-ball linebacker. It's not like I appreciate what JJ's saying, but also Micah's a little bit of a different nut in that he could be an off-ball linebacker.
Oh, yeah.
It's not foreign to him or anything. So they might spring some surprises on him. The Lions are 12-4 against the spread against the Packers since 2017.
Okay, so when they win big, the Lions. That's a good number to know. I wonder, I'll have to look it up. I'll look it up when we start doing the toss, who's favored in that game. Lions are 12-4 against the spread in their last 16 games against the Packers, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. That's worth noting. All right, in the main event of the weekend on NBC, we could just as easily play Carrie Underwood right here because Lopez and I are in the room and we're both big Carrie Underwood honks. Ravens at Bills. Possible AFC title preview. In fact, I think if you – I don't know if you polled a lot because I think there's a lot of people that think the Chiefs are taking a step back this year. I think if you polled America on this one, that Ravens and Bills would probably be the ones that are ironically enough, the Chiefs who've made three straight Super Bowls. I think they'd be the third team, third team looking in.
The theme of this preview so far has been the first time various quarterback matchups have happened in a season opener.
Not this
is the first time the top two players in MVP voting from the prior season meet in the season opener since at least 1970.
That surprises me a little bit only because the season opener for these teams, not the league season opener was last night. So this the season opener for each of these teams, right?
What? The season opener for the teams.
For the teams, the matchup. I got you. I thought you meant like the Thursday night game, like the season opener for the league.
No. Yeah, like in the opening season.
I got you. That they've met in a season opener. I got you. All right, got you. In week one. All right, on that note, that's a good – I mean, that is a good slate of games this weekend. I can't wait. Reggie Atitula and John Lopez, are here. What's up, fellas? How we doing?
Great. Already having a good day. All good.
Good, man. Yeah, Crosstalk's brought to you by D&M Auto.
That's
Leasing,
right. I don't see Micah Parsons as an off-ball linebacker. I know it's a thing that happened.
He was drafted.
No. They're not going to use him consistently as that. I'm saying if you want to provide some wrinkles or whatever. Like moving him around or moving him back off the line.
But
of
he better be blitzing him. He better be getting after the quarterback because all the other read stuff he hasn't done in a while.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that all of a sudden he's going to be the Will linebacker or something. Yeah,
green dot. Oh, that'd be awesome if they gave Micah the green dot on the helmet. That would be fun. So we didn't get the full story on the spitting until we all woke up this morning.
There was a second spitter.
Dak spit.
On the gravelly road.
He was behind a grassy knoll.
On the gravelly road.
A fatty knoll. Because he was behind the offensive lineman. He was standing behind a fatty knoll.
He was.
Dak Prescott was Roger McDowell.
Yes, he was.
We actually Zapruder filmed it a little bit at Kirby Ice House, didn't we?
Yeah. Okay, so do you think Zach's spit was Zach kind of Southern belled it where he's like, I spit 1,000 times a game.
And then give a smug look to the guy who's exactly in the direction that you're spitting at. Yeah.
Baited him into it, man.
He's a conniving guy, isn't he?
Okay. So along those lines, the question of the day.
Yes. The questions of the day is, and this is not necessarily to fight. Let me make that clear. But what are some things you have to do whether you want to or not? And it's based on if someone spits on you, you got to throw. You gotta fight.
Yeah.
Whether you want to or not. Like I would not want to fight Jalen Carter.
Is there a single more disrespectful act than spitting?
I don't think
someone?
So. I think a close second is the finger to the face. Well, you know, pointing at you, you know, the finger in the face.
Yeah. Peeing on somebody is pretty bad.
What's that?
Urinating
on somebody. Yep. That would be bad.
And then you can go the whole Hannibal Lecter route, too. Or not Hannibal Lecter, but the
when you rip
the other...
When you rip their face off it and then put it on your face.
Yes.
No, the prisoner that threw something at Clarice. Not Hannibal Lecter, but the other one.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, any kind of bodily fluid thrown at somebody is about as bad as it gets.
But I don't necessarily want to make it like, okay, things that make you fight. No, I'm saying like things that you got to do whether you want to or not. The example I gave you before, Sean, was, and this has happened so many times, and I'm ashamed to say that I have not wanted to go so many times. Anyway, someone you casually know or whatever, and they say, hey, we should do lunch sometime. And you're like, yeah, we should do that.
We should.
And then they follow up and schedule a lunch. And you're like, oh.
So do you have to go on that
you
lunch?
You got
to
go.
You have to go,
you,
huh?
You got to go on that lunch.
Well, yeah, because you look like quite a jerk if you're like, actually.
Yeah. No, but what if you keep coming up with excuses?
And they keep rescheduling. You know the type. Yeah. I know this has happened to
Michael
you.
Michael Scott on The Office is the type. No, it's happened before. You know, you're 100%. You're 100% right. Mine that I thought of isn't nearly as depressing as the ones of getting spit in the face or as a lunch scheduled where you spend an hour with somebody you don't want to spend time with. But if you're somewhere with friends, you're memorializing someone or something, and you have to they say let's pull the shot, let's all do a shot in honor of Bob or in honor of the 1978 team or whatever, something where everybody is taking a shot in honor of something, even if it's a shot you don't like, and even if you haven't been drinking. Now the only caveat is if you're an alcoholic, you don't have to do it, but if you drink. Even if you don't like the shot, you got to take the shot.
Got to take the shot.
Got to take the shot, man.
I think I agree. Yeah. I think I 100% agree with that.
Take the shot.
I actually take that a little bit further, and I think people will disagree. If somebody buys me a drink, I'm like, all right, I got
to. You got to. Well, you have to hand it to you.
Yeah. It's like, all right.
Do you dump part of it out while they're not looking?
No.
Okay. All right.
I'm comfortable in any of those situations just not doing it. Yeah. I'm going to be like, oh, no, sorry, man. That's cool. I'll take a sip of the shot.
What about the lunch?
What's that?
What about the lunch?
I just don't agree to lunches ever with anybody.
That's the policy.
That's pretty much.
No, yeah. Seth, that's one like really good piece of advice that Seth I've heard give is learn how to say no to things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that you don't have to have an excuse or a reason. You just say no.
Well,
if somebody presses you for why, that's their faux pas.
Yeah.
That's not their right to know. I'm not going
to
do it.
I've been trying to have lunch with Seth for 6 years. He'll just say no.
Aren't you happy that?
Don't like you. 4 hours is enough.
Aren't you happy that we roped him into a dinner for a charity? That was the one
that I'm gonna
we found the back door.
Seth's going to go, can't do it. So is there anything that comes to mind then, Seth?
Whenever I have to get involved with like anything with the in-laws where it's like, all right, well, I try to stay out of everything completely 100%, but there's every now and then you're like, well, got to say something. All right. I will drive over and I will have that conversation. And I never like doing it, but you flip that switch and you're like, nope, I'm going. All right. Yep.
How long is the drive?
Well, it depends where I am. I mean, sometimes 27 hours, but it's better done in person.
I got you. Yeah. I'm just thinking how long you're stewing in the car for.
No. Or, I mean,
a Matt Barnes situation?
Yeah.
I prefer in person if it's usually a hard conversation.
I hear you.
It's always better to... tempers don't get as raw. The more face-to-face contact you can have with a tense situation, the less likely it is to
escalate.
Extra miscommunication. Yeah.
Unless there's spit. Unless there's spit. All right. Well, fellas, have a great show.
Thanks, man.
By the way, what do you think of these Payne and Pendergast glasses?
Hey,
those
are really nice.
Yeah, they're really nice.
Yeah.
We've been encouraging people throughout the show to make sure there's a line out the door at Talyard Brewing Company today and around the parking lot because we want to have the best optics of glass
of course
glasses
you do.
Demand
of course you do.
For our show. So, yeah.
Pendergast and Payne?
Well, according to Casario, it's Pendergast and Payne. Yeah, but Payne and Pendergast. Yeah, so the one each week. This is our week. Next week, I would imagine we're doing
this ours.
Chronological order. Yeah. So next week will be the In the Loop glasses out there. Talyard Brewing Company today. Go see the fellas. 2 to 6. If I didn't say it already, Crosstalk brought to you by D&M Auto Leasing.
You did? That's the second time.
Just in case. And go see the guys out there. And you get one per person, first come, first serve. And these are amazing glasses. And so that should be a good time out there.
I also hear they make the beer taste better.
They do.
Always. Especially Frozen. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies, and enjoy your Sethless lunch.
Oh, I will.
I've enjoyed none of them for 6 years.
Oh, I will.
Six years I've been trying to have lunch with this guy.
Oh, you can't make it? Oh.
This freaking guy. All right. We are done. We are out of time. You're listening to KLT and KLT FM HD2, Houston, an Odyssey sports station.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.